Listen, I'm excited to be able to preach this morning. It's been a while, and so I'm looking forward to just opening up God's Word with you this morning. It's going to be just a great morning. Hopefully, it's an encouraging morning and a challenging morning to you. God's been challenging me over these last this last week of this new year, and I hope that that you are also encouraged and challenged as we look in God's Word and see what God has for us this morning. I've been thinking a lot as we start this new year, this 2021. I don't know about you, but I feel like we need something. Do you ever feel like that? Like you just need something different, a change, and that needs to happen. You feel like you've been in a rut or something like that. I don't know if you've ever felt like that, but as we start the year, this 2021, I feel like not just in my life and not just in the church, but just as a country, I feel like we need something. Something needs to change. Something needs to just explode and with some great passion. Something needs to happen. And so I've been praying through that. And so this morning, I'm going to start a new series. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about awakening. What does it mean to awaken? What does it mean to come alive once again in our faith and in our life? So we're going to be looking at different aspects of awaken and what awakening looks like for you and for me and for the church and for our country. Back in 1734 and really lasted 1734 to 1743, we read and hear, really for us, we didn't experience it, but we read and hear about the first great awakening in our country. It happened in Massachusetts, in Northampton, and it was led, really ignited, first by the Holy Spirit, but also by a pastor named Jonathan Edwards. He had been preaching for quite a while and just hadn't experienced a lot of fruit in that endeavor of preaching and trying to reach his community. And history tells us that it got kind of frustrating for him, but he kept enduring, kept persevering. That's what Jonathan Edwards did. And he was a fiery preacher. And he writes about this time and what was happening in his heart. And as he was praying for God to do something amazing and work in a mighty way and for the moving of the Holy Spirit, he recalls that one time finally, as he is preaching and teaching, about five or six people gave their life to the Lord. It seems like a small number, but for him that was a big step. But what was so interesting about that group of people that gave their life, there was one in particular, a woman that did not have the best reputation in the community. And so Jonathan Edwards was a little concerned. He didn't know how everybody was going to react when they saw this woman giving her life to the Lord. He wasn't really sure what was going to happen with that, if it was going to kind of squash the momentum or passion or something, or what it was going to do. And in reality, what it did is that it ignited a passion. Her conversion and the others that were converted with her that gave their life to Jesus, the people were so amazed at what God had done and how God had worked, and the Holy Spirit began working in the hearts of so many others in the community. And Jonathan Edwards says that in that time there were 300 or so people in that town of about 1,000 that ended up giving their life to the Lord. They got saved. That was the beginning of a great awakening in our country. Now, as it spreads out into other communities, into other colonies, into other areas, we know that it was taken on by George Whitefield, who was another one that came in Philadelphia, and he was preaching and people were getting saved. Don't you want to experience something like that again? I do. I want to experience a great awakening. Not just in our country, in my life, in the church's life. I want to experience a great awakening, like something I've never experienced and we have never experienced before. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about awaken. Man, wouldn't it be great if God did something amazing? And so I want to encourage you, go all in these next few weeks. We're going to be challenged this morning to pray more and to study more and to confess and to repent and turn our lives over to the Lord and rejuvenate, allow the Lord to rejuvenate and refresh our faith. Listen, go all in. I just want to encourage you, go all in. Let's see what God can do with a church that is on fire and passionate for Him. I don't know about you, but I think not just our church, but our country needs a great awakening. I think our country needs to be stirred a little bit with the Holy Spirit and a mighty movement of God. And so may it start with us. May it start with you and me and our church. And may it spread out to our country and to our world. Pray, church, pray for an awakening. And may it begin with us. So here's what I want you to do. And we're going to be in two places this morning in Scripture. And kind of the theme verse for this series is found in Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 14. So you can turn there. But also I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles in chapter 29. We're going to be in there a lot this morning too. And so as we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, turn also to 2 Chronicles 29. Kind of keep your thumb there and mark that spot because we're going to be talking a lot about Hezekiah this morning as we begin to think about this spiritual renewal. So listen, Ephesians 5:14. This is what it says, and it's just a simple verse here, but it says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Listen, such a small verse, but such a powerful verse. Listen, it says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." I love this. I love where it says, "Wake up, sleeper." You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I like to sleep. I like to take a good nap, right? You might too. I don't know if you're anything like me. It's enjoyable, you know, good, especially on Sundays. Hopefully not Sunday morning during my messages, but it's okay. It's not going to hurt my feelings. But listen, I like to take a good nap. And so when we're sleeping, listen, we are pretty much out of it when you're sleeping, right? I mean, you're still doing the normal things. You're breathing. That's important as you're sleeping. You're breathing, maybe snoring a little bit. Those are just kind of automatic. They just kind of happen. You know, something like that similar happens to Christians all the time. Sometimes we lull ourselves to a sleep spiritually. You know, I hate to admit it, but I think we've all experienced that where we're just kind of going through the motions and we do the things that, you know, a Christian's supposed to do. It's almost automatic. You know, we breathe, we come to church and we sing, but we're kind of just out of it. You know, and I think that's a shame because I think we'll look back on our life and we'll think, "Did I really give it all for the Lord? Did I really live a passionate life for the Lord?" I think many of us will look back and say, "I missed it. I didn't really go all in." Listen, because we are asleep. We can be alive. We can be walking through a day and we can be in a church service and still be spiritually asleep. And so Ephesians tells us, "Wake up, wake up. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Listen, this first message that we're going to talk about this morning as we look at awaken is this: the time is now. The time is now that we wake up. That we wake up and allow God to use us and for God to work in a mighty way in our personal lives, in our homes, in our churches, in our community, in our world. Listen, the time is now for revival. The time is now for an awakening in our life and in our church and in our community. Listen, this is the truth that we're going to talk about this morning is this: the church. And when I say the church, I mean the church universal. I mean the local church. I mean us as the church. Listen, the church is in need of spiritual renewal. The church is in need of spiritual renewal. Listen, that is a fact. That is the truth that we are confronted with today. We, the church, are in need of spiritual renewal, and the time is now. Listen, there is no greater time than right now for the church to rise up, for the church to catch on fire and to be passionate for the Lord, to experience revival. Listen, the time is now. You know, I'm not going to act naive in this and just say, listen, this is all about us, because it's not. And I want you to know this, and this is important because, listen, we can walk through, and I'm going to give you some thoughts on this spiritual renewal, and we can walk through the steps of spiritual renewal, but listen, this is all about God. It's when we surrender everything to Him, when He works and moves in His timing and in His grace and in His mercy, in His power, when the Holy Spirit moves, revival takes place. So really for us, what it is putting us in a place for God to move in our life. That's what we really want to do. So when we talk about spiritual renewal, it is allowing God to take over and really step closer into relationship with Him and allow Him to use us in a powerful, powerful way. We're in need of spiritual renewal. And I believe that as a people, when we all come together in unity and we give our lives to Him and we surrender everything and we turn everything over to Him and give Him complete control, I believe that God wants to work and move in us and through us. Listen, a mighty revival can take place because the Holy Spirit powerfully moving and working in and through us. Can you just imagine how powerfully amazing it would be if God chose to work and move in a powerful, revival-like, awakening-like way through Hampton First Baptist Church? That's my prayer. That is my prayer. And so I want to look at this, and we're going to look in 2 Chronicles 29 as we kind of walk through some aspects, I believe, of spiritual renewal that we find in Hezekiah. King Hezekiah, what a great example for us, I believe, in what it takes to experience spiritual renewal. And as you do that, so go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles 29 and look at that chapter, because we're going to talk just a little bit, kind of get some insight from how he was leading and how we also can kind of follow suit in spiritual renewal. Now, just some background, his father was one that did not follow the Lord very well. King Ahaz, if you know anything about King Ahaz, as a matter of fact, it tells us just before this chapter, it says that he did not please God. He did not do what was pleasing to the Lord. Matter of fact, if you were to look at the life of Ahaz, and he was really kind of caught in a just really compromising his faith is what he was doing. And what he did was that he allowed Judah to kind of come into a very difficult place spiritually. And the way that he did that is he began introducing idol worship alongside the worship of God. He began closing the doors of the temple, sacrificing to false gods and different gods, and then began establishing, as Scripture tells us, centers of idol worship in every Judean town. Listen, he was not very pleasing to God. He was not doing what God had called him to do. And so he was leading God's people in a direction that was going to be devastating and detrimental. And so Ahaz did not set up very well King Hezekiah. So when King Hezekiah comes in, when he takes over for his father and he begins to lead God's people, listen, this is an amazing truth about Hezekiah that I love. Here you are coming in as a king, about 25 or so years old, fairly young, coming in. Things are in disarray. They're about to be overtaken because of just God allowing that to happen. That was the consequence of King Ahaz and what he had done and how he had led the people. So God was just going to let them be taken over. And so he comes in a very difficult time. And so when he comes in, listen, this is his first year in leadership. You would think that, you know, what were some of the things that he would do as a leader? You know, would he build his army up? Would he get everybody trained? You know, what are some of the things that would be his first priority because times were so difficult and hard? What did he decide to do? He decided to clean out the temple. He decided to clean up the city. He decided to turn back to God. Wow. In his first year. Listen, that's what Scripture says. This is what it says in 2 Chronicles 29, verses 3 through 5. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. I love that. He brought in the priests and the Levites, and he assembled them in the square on the east and said to them, "Hear me, Levites. Now consecrate yourselves and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry out the filth from the holy place." That's what Hezekiah did. That was his first year of his reign. This was the priority that he had, to carry out the filth from the holy place. He wanted to clean out. And so I want to just challenge you today. Very first thing that I want to kind of hit on this morning is this, is that if we're going to experience spiritual renewal in our life and in the church, I want to challenge you with this. Now is the time to clean out. Now is the time to clean out. You know, every spring we kind of have a time of spring cleaning. I think you probably do also. We come in and we kind of throw the things out that we're not using anymore, that we don't need, or we give it away, and, you know, dust is collected in different places. We try to clean up the house as much as we can. That's part of spring cleaning. Listen, my kids love it. Not really. I love it. Not really. But listen, we clean the house and do all that we can to prepare for that year. And so that's kind of our spiritual act of cleaning out our house, right? That's what we do. But listen, it's more, as we talk here about Hezekiah, it's not just a physical cleaning out. It's a spiritual cleaning out that needs to happen. And listen, we don't just clean out our house. In the physical sense, we are called to clean out our lives spiritually. That we need to make sure that we don't get into the business of falling into addiction and habits that are detrimental to our faith and leading us away from God. And so we need to continually allow the Holy Spirit to clean us out, in a sense, to spiritually clean us. And so I want to encourage you today, and just with this, it's time, the time is now to clean out. Clean out whatever is in your life that's keeping you from following after God. Whatever sin is in your life, it's time to get rid of. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I love that. He's faithful. He is just. And if we confess, if we come before Him saying, "God, I have a lot of junk in my life. I have a lot of dirtiness and filthiness in my life that I need You to clean out, God." And if we hand it over to Him, it says He is faithful and He's just and He will forgive us. What a great gift that is. Listen, there's nothing better than a clean house, but there's nothing even better than a clean heart. And that's what God wants to do in our life. You know, I think about David when I think about cleaning out. You know, here he is caught in this sin with Bathsheba. And we look in Psalm 51. And I just want to read it to you. I love this passage because it talks about him cleaning out. Cleaning out his heart. Cleaning out his life. Getting rid of the sin that he's holding on to. And listen, this is visible sin and also hidden sin that he has in his life. And listen, we probably can identify some with that. But here's what it says. "Have mercy on me, O God," Psalm 51, "according to Your unfailing love. According to Your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against You, You only have I sinned and done what is evil in Your sight. So You are right in Your verdict and justified when You judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Can you hear David's heart? He was confessing. He's repenting. He is turning his life around and giving it to God. And he's saying, God, I no longer want to hold on to this sin, this hidden sin, this visible sin. I want to give it over to you. Clear my heart out. Clean my heart. Purify me, God. You know, what I love about David is that he didn't mince words here. He didn't try to skate by just a little bit. He didn't try to hide anything. He was honest. He was humble. He recognized the sin that was in his life. And he said, God, I don't want it in my life anymore. I want you to take it. Can I just tell you that if we're going to experience spiritual renewal, if we really want to awaken spiritually in our life, it's going to start with you and with me recognizing the sin in our life. Listen, we don't like to talk about it, do we? We don't like to talk about the sin. Matter of fact, most churches, it seems like nowadays, a lot of churches, I'm not throwing them under the bus, but a lot of churches out there, listen, we don't want to talk about sin. It's not very fun. But listen, it's a reality. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what Romans tells us. And for many of us, that sin is hanging on. That fleshly side of us that keeps that sin hidden or holds on to it with dear life because it's just a part of who we are. Listen, that's keeping us from all that God has for us. And you don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to do that. We can experience incredible freedom and joy. We can experience God's grace and compassion. We can experience awakening in our life, revival in our life. But it starts with us cleaning house, cleaning the closets out in our life and in our heart, and just laying it out before God, saying, God, this is what I've been hiding. This is the sin that I've been holding on to, and I need you just to take it. Forgive me. Forgive me. Listen, repentance is still very crucial. What does Jesus say? Repent! Listen, we're supposed to repent. We're supposed to give Him our sin and confess and turn to follow after Him. Change our life and follow after. Listen, that's what God wants to do. And so listen, maybe today is the day where we just clean out. But I don't want you just to stop with cleaning out. Listen, it's not just clean out, but also it's this. Now is the time to fill up. Listen, Hezekiah went in and he told all the priests, he says, listen, take all this filth out of the temple, clean it out. We're turning back to God. We're going to worship our God. We're going to focus back on our God. Listen, he cleaned out, but he didn't just clean out. He filled up. What does that mean for us? It means this. Don't just take that sin and say, God, take it away and lay it down at His feet. Don't just do that. But listen, we got to fill ourselves up with Him. It's not just about what you get rid of. It's about what comes in, right? And so you allow the Holy Spirit to move and work in your life. And what does that mean for us? Well, look down. We're going to be looking at some verses between verses 15 and 30 in 2 Chronicles 29. But here's the first thing. When I talk about filling up, what does it mean? Return to His Word. Return to His Word. That's what that means. We are to return. If we're going to fill up, then we need to return to His Word. Listen, nothing is more powerful than God's Word. Then in 2 Chronicles, in verse 15, this is what it says. It says this. It says, it says this, they gathered their brothers and consecrated themselves and went in as the king had commanded by the words of the Lord. to cleanse the house of the Lord. Listen, by the words of the Lord. Listen, they're going back to God's Word. Listen, if we want to allow our lives to be renewed spiritually, it's going to start with us going back to God's Word. And a part of that is making God's Word the authority in our life. Can I tell you what's going to change our country? When God's Word becomes its authority. What's going to change our schools when God's Word becomes its authority? What's going to change our families when God's Word becomes the authority in our life? Listen, God's Word is powerful. What's going to change churches when God's Word is preached and it's proclaimed and it's the authority in our life? Listen, fill yourself up with His Word. Return to His Word. Psalm 119. With my whole heart I seek You. Let me not wander from Your commandments. I have stored up Your Word in my heart that I might not sin against You. Job said this, and I love this about Job in chapter 23, verse 12. I have not departed from the commandment of His lips. I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my portion of food. Listen, that is filling up on His Word. Are you filling up on His Word? I want to encourage you to do that. And I want to help you do that. Listen, what we've sent out to you on an email, hopefully you have gotten it. If not, you can go straight to our website and you can find a link for a devotional. So for the next 21 days, I want to encourage you to walk through the Awaken Prayer Guide and Journal. All right, so it has a devotion, it has a place, a specific prayers, and it has a place to journal. So as a church, I want to encourage you for the next 21 days to walk through this journal with me and with us as a church as we talk about this awakening. So it's on the email, there's a link, you can go to our church website, hamptonfbc.org, and you should be able to find that link, and I want you to be able to do that devotion. Now, I know many of you have started a devotion, as I have, for this new year, and I don't want you to stop that, so maybe this is a little extra that we can kind of focus in on, but listen, whatever you're doing, whether it's this one or something else, fill yourself up with His Word. Get back to His Word. But also this, not just return to His Word, but also rely on prayer. I want our church and I want all of us to rely on prayer. We got to get back to prayer. If we're going to see revival, if we're going to see awakening in our life, awakening in our country, it's going to be all about prayer. There is power in prayer. I love this as we're talking about Hezekiah and how he's leading this change for God's people. And it says this about the priests, and they brought seven bulls and seven rams and seven lambs and seven male goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. Listen, that was a priority, to go back to the altar. When I think of prayer, it's us getting on our knees before the Lord, as an altar before the Lord, giving Him everything as we are praying and communicating and talking and spending time with Him. Listen, are you willing to go back to prayer? History tells us. Listen, history tells us that every great awakening begins with prayer. A people that are praying, are you willing to pray? Let's go back to prayer. I mean powerful prayer. I mean honest prayer, humble prayer, specific prayer, prayer for each other, prayer for our church. Listen, let's go back to, let's rely on prayer. James 5:16. Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. There is power in prayer. Listen, prayer can change the world through God. Listen, as we communicate and talk with God, prayer is powerful. So let's not just return to His Word, but let's rely on prayer. And here's another challenge I'm going to give you. And this is a difficult one, but I think it's important. As for the next 21 days, which that's the length of our series, 3 weeks. For the next 21 days, as hopefully you walk through this Awaken Prayer Guide and Journal, I want to encourage you to focus in on prayer, but not just prayer. I want to challenge you to fast. Now, for some of you, that might be a foreign word, fast. But it's very biblical, and it's very powerful. Now, fasting in most senses really is about abstaining from food so that you can concentrate on prayer, and that you can not be filled up on food, but filled up on the Lord. That's where we find this idea of fasting. So whatever you take away, you replace that with the Lord, and you fill yourself up with Him. That's what it's all about. It's not about a show. It's not about losing weight. It's not about any of that. But it's about filling yourself with the Lord and doing whatever it takes to do that. So I want to encourage you to fast as you pray. Now, it looks different for everybody. Okay, there's not a set of rules here, and it's not legalistic in any way. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you to think that. I want you to do what is going to be powerful for your relationship with God. And for some of you, it means maybe you got to set the phone down a little bit more. Okay, you're going to abstain from your technology, and you're going to use that as your fast. You're going to abstain from technology so that you can spend that time with the Lord. Maybe it's a meal. Maybe you abstain from one meal and fast during that time, and you pray and you spend time in the Word. Listen, it's going to look different for everybody, but I want you to really challenge yourself in some form to fast, not just for fasting's sake, but so that you can fill yourself up with the Lord, so that you can concentrate and focus in on Him, not allowing the things around you to kind of take you away from what you're supposed to do. So I want to encourage you in that. Listen, there's no secret in this. This is just us abstaining from something that's occupying us, whether that's food, whether that's something that's physical, whatever it may be, but it's occupying our taking our attention, occupying our time, taking that out and replacing it with God. That's what I encourage you to do for the next 21 days. Pray about it. Think about what that would be, and let God work in that. Okay. Last thing is this. And what I love about Hezekiah is that they did all this. They cleared out the temple. They went to the altar. They went back to the Lord. And then they didn't stop there. You know what they did to end? Here's what it says in verses 29 through 30. When the offering was finished, the king and all who were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. And Hezekiah the king and the officials commanded the Levites to sing praises to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed down and worshipped. So listen, not only do we want to fill up with His Word, not only do we want to fill up with prayer, but listen, we want to fill up through worship. Rejoice through worship. I want to encourage you the next 21 days and on to rejoice in worship. Wherever you are, whether you're in your car, whether you're at home, let's listen, let's sing, let's open up the Word, let's worship with all that we have. Matter of fact, our life is a sacrifice to Him of worship. May we do that with everything that we have. Let's rejoice for what God is doing and who He is. Our world needs to see believers today rejoicing, not hurting and sour and bitter. Listen, they want to see us rejoicing. May we rejoice through worship. Now, it's interesting nowadays that we worship online, and sometimes, and hopefully one day we'll all be back together worshiping in person, singing and raising our voices and opening up His Word together. That's all worship. But I want to encourage you, wherever you are, worship. Rejoice. Be thankful for what God has done and is doing in your life. You know, a lot of times joy is a decision. We're going to make a choice to rejoice. And I want to encourage you to rejoice through worship. You know, King Hezekiah led his people to worship. And may we do the same. So church, it is time. The time is now. The time is now to clean out. The time is now to fill up. And may we do that with all of our heart. I don't know about you, but I want to experience an awakening. I want to experience revival. And I believe with all my heart, it starts with us. as the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and in our church. So are you ready? Church, are you ready for an awakening? I want hundreds and hundreds of people to come to know the Lord. Why? Because that's the greatest decision ever. I want lives to be saved. I want to celebrate in heaven with all of our community. Listen, I want people to come to know Jesus. And that happens in an awakening. Happens in revival. And so may we allow Him to revive us and awaken our souls.